The title of this evening's sermon is The Sin of Laziness. The Sin of Laziness. Now, many Christians do not realize how laziness is indeed a sin, and how often the Bible speaks on the subject of laziness and speaks very strongly on the sin of laziness. Many Christians have a wrong understanding of labor and are a bad example to the loss at their workplace. And we need to realize that we witness to the loss more by our example than by our words. And it is very dangerous to be a negative example and not a positive example. Tonight, we're going to see the amazing amount of biblical teaching on the sin of laziness and how strongly the Bible speaks over and over on the nature of labor and the sin of laziness and slothfulness and being a sluggard and being idle, the sin of idleness. When we consider how many hours a week we spend at the workplace, how many hours a week we spend going to and from the workplace, we see that that requires most of our time throughout the week is focused on our secular work. Therefore, it is very important that we understand what the Bible says about secular work. It is wrong for some Christians to have the view that secular work is not important, that secular work is a waste of time, and to be lazy in their work. The lost, the world, is watching. And Christians are to be an example at the workplace. Also, the Christian ministry, it is crucial in the Bible over and over, we're going to see tonight, how the ministry is not for those who are lazy. The work of the Christian ministry is for those who are diligent. And we're going to see tonight the example of the Apostle Paul and how he labored and how he was an example and how he was not lazy. And unfortunately, there are far too many in the ministry today who approach the ministry in a state of laziness, with lack of enthusiasm, with lack of intensity, with lack of zeal, but rather as if they're in a state of slumber and just are going through the motions. We're going to see tonight the amazing amount of biblical teaching on this subject. And this is over and over, and we're going to be turning to a number of texts this evening. And I exhort you to follow the Berean spirit, because it is important as we see the numerous amount of texts in the Word of God that deal with this subject and how strongly the Word of God addresses this issue. And we need to remember that the devil loves a lazy Christian. The devil does not like the hard-working Christian who is an example at the workplace, who is zealous for God, who is desiring to promote Christ's kingdom. The devil loves to encourage the children of God to be lazy, to not be diligent, to be slothful, to be idle, where they will be more likely to fall into sin, where they will be a negative example, and where they will not be at work seeking to promote God's kingdom. And this is one of Satan's devices, is to think, to get the Christian to have a wrong understanding of what God has called him or her to do. So we're going to examine this from looking at the secular work, looking at the Christian ministry, looking at the Bible's, the biblical teaching, and addressing women on this issue as well. and all phases of work. So turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to quote from Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verse 4, says, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4, is almost the exact same wording used. Psalm 132, verse 4 says, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. Compare that to Proverbs 6, verse 4. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Now, we're going to examine numerous texts from the Old Testament and the New Testament. First, we're going to examine a survey through the book of Proverbs. And watch how many texts, how often this subject is referred to. Keep in mind that the man who is writing this is Solomon. He is the richest man who ever lived. He is the wisest and smartest man who ever lived. And of course, he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So here we are told that the lazy man is referred to as the sluggard, and we are given example in contrast to the ant, to an insect who prepares for the fall and for the winter. And we are told that we are not to be in a state of sleeping, in a state of being in slumber. And then notice Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunt, does not boast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Proverbs 18, verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to whom is a great destroyer. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness cast one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 19, verse 24. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 22, verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. Proverbs 24, verse 33 and 34. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Prediction of destruction coming to those who are lazy. Proverbs 26, verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his own bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Now, in those verses, 13 to 16 of Proverbs 26, the word lazy is used four times in those four verses. So over and over, and we could turn to other texts, you see how clear and how repeatedly the book of Proverbs addresses this issue. The wisest man who ever lived, the most successful man who ever lived, the richest, wealthiest man who ever lived, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, addresses over and over the sin of laziness and being slothful and slumbering and being a sluggard, and how we are to be diligent and are to labor. And also turn to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 9. All you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Now the word slumber means to be in a state of sleep or idleness. So we see how much teaching in just those several texts in the Old Testament. Now let's turn to the New Testament and see how often this is addressed in the New Testament as well as it is in the Old Testament. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How is the believer to be serving the Lord? In diligence, fervent in spirit, the opposite of a state of laziness. To be diligent is to work and labor hard, fervent in spirit, steadfast, zealous, as opposed to being in a state of slumber, or a state of inactivity, or a state of idleness. The believer is to be not lagging in diligence, not lazy, but to be fervent in spirit. That is how he is to serve the Lord. Then Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So here once again, there's a contrast between diligence and laziness, being sluggish. Is to be lazy. Being diligent is to work hard. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. And in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 10. It is important as we turn to these texts that we see how often the Bible speaks on this issue, because far too many Christians make light of the sin of laziness. Far too many Christians don't even call it what it is. And as we're going to see from these texts, it's repeated over and over, and the Bible uses very, very strong language on addressing this issue. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching them which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" The word lazy is used there in connection to liars and evil beasts. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. It's a prophet of their own, one of their own from the island of Crete himself is saying that about his fellow countrymen. This is what was common amongst the Cretans. And obviously we know this is scripture. This is not an exaggeration, but one of them, a prophet of their own, one of the Cretans says concerning his fellow Cretans that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And this is in the context of verse 10 that is speaking of idleness, idle talkers, and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped. This is a serious issue. Then turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing close to his death, one of three letters that he would write prior to his death that we have recorded in Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And listen to how strong of a statement that the Apostle Paul makes concerning this issue. Very profound, very strong statement. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now the context is dealing with taking care of widows, and Paul is addressing the domestic situation. And he says, if anyone does not provide for the needs of his own, especially those of his own household. So he's speaking here of the individual domestic realm, the household. Someone who does not provide for the needs of his own household is worse than an unbeliever, has denied the faith. A very strong statement that the apostle states. Then also turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, which we see another very strong statement made by the apostle Paul regarding sin of laziness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, the apostle says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Those who are not laboring are stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Those who are being lazy at work are ultimately breaking the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Good work. What is one of the reasons? That he may have something to give him who has need. So one of the reasons that God has ordained that men would work in the secular realm in the world is so man could be in a position to help his fellow man, to be able to give. Benevolence is not possible if men are not working. Many Christians have a hard time getting up on Monday morning because of lack of motivation for their secular work, because of the devil trying to whisper into their ear, be lazy, it's not important, what you're doing is not important, and trying to get the Christian to be in a state of lethargy, in a state of slumber, to go to the workplace to be a negative example, to let Christianity look in a negative aspect to the world. Then also turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 33. The Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 20 is giving his farewell address to the Ephesian elders, and he is able to do so in a good conscience before man. He's able to look at them in the eye, unashamed. Notice what he says here in Acts chapter 20, speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities. Doesn't say my luxuries, but for my necessities and for those who were with me. He wasn't just providing for himself, he was helping others by his own hands and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So here is the Apostle Paul, a man who is in and out of jail over and over, a man who is being persecuted, a man who is constantly being sought after, people, there's attempts on his life. He is extremely busy at God's work, and yet he is also having the time, taking the time, to work with his own hands, to provide for his own needs and the needs of those who were with him. He wasn't a selfish person. Because he took care of himself, he wasn't falling into the sin of covetousness. He could look at them in a clean conscience. He was an example to them. He was a man who was not greedy, which is one of the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy 3, but he is a man who is benevolent. And once again, we see laboring. One of the purposes of laboring, of working, is to be able to support the weak, to be able to help others, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And once again, how can one give if one is not working? And then Philemon chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Here we see another example of the Apostle Paul's generosity. Philemon chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. If you compare this with Acts chapter 20, Paul says to Philemon, "But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Put that on my account," Paul says. Paul was a man who, because of his laboring, he was able to minister to others. He was a man who was not greedy. He was a man who was concerned about others and was often helping others. And then turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's numerous texts that we could turn to in which we see this demonstrated in the life of the Apostle Paul, in great contrast to many in the ministry today. The Apostle Paul was a man who worked hard, who labored. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." The Apostle Paul was a man who did not just work a certain amount of hours. He was a man who worked night and day. He toiled. He labored. Labor and toil, that he would not be a burden to others. And then 2 Thessalonians, the second letter to the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. And listen to the strong, very strong language that the Apostle Paul uses here. First of all, he commands them. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, "But we command you, brethren," he's speaking to Christians, and he's commanding the brethren, "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," a solemn charge, "that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we are not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil, night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. The Apostle Paul was an example to the brethren. He commands the brethren to follow his example. And he says that those who are not following his example, those who are not laboring, those who refuse to work, should not eat. If they do not work, do not let them eat. Anyone who will not work, neither shall he eat. Very strong statement the Apostle Paul makes. And he's speaking here of the idleness, the sin of idleness, which is connected to the sin of laziness. And he himself has a good conscience. He was an example to the brethren. And they are to follow his example, to work in quietness, to eat their own bread, to not be looking for a handout. The welfare mentality is not a biblical mentality. You see that clearly from these texts that we've seen. Now, it is different if there are those who are sick and disabled and weak and unable to work. Obviously, the Apostle Paul text we just looked was helping those. He himself was helping. But those who are refusing to work should not eat. That's not me saying that. That's the Word of God saying that. Those who refuse to work should not eat, should not be given a handout. Those who are refusing to work. Not those who are in a state that they cannot work due to a disability or sickness, where Paul himself was making provision for those who were unable to. And then Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. The apostle says, "To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Apostle Paul was a man who was striving, a man who was working, a man who was laboring through the power of the Spirit of God. And he was an example to the brethren. He was not a negative example. He was a positive example. And yet there are far too many in the ministry today who are in a state of slumber, in a state of laziness, no zeal, no intensity, just going through the motions and sitting down. Charles Bridges wrote, and I quote in his book, The Christian Ministry, "How uniformly also did the great apostle prefer the spiritual advantage of his people to his own personal comfort. A pattern for us in the daily sacrifice of our case, convenience, and legitimate indulgence. As regards the visitation of the sick, it was said of Mr. Grimshaw, could it be said of many of us, that night and day were the same to him. He has been known to walk several miles in the night in storms of snow when few people would venture out of their doors to visit a sick person. Great example of a man who labored and was like the example of the Apostle Paul was a man named Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, who lived in the 19th century, said, and I quote, "I do not look to soft and leisurely men to instruct me how to endure adversity. No one knows the toil and care I have to bear. I have to look after the orphanage, have charge of a church with 4,000 members. Sometimes there are marriages and burials to be undertaken. There is the weekly sermon to be revised, the sword and the trowel to be edited. And besides all that, a weekly average of 500 letters to be answered. This, however, is only half my duty, for there are innumerable churches established by friends with whom I must respond to. So as nothing of the cares of the difficulty which are constantly being referred to me." Now Spurgeon, on his 50th birthday, a list of 66 organizations was read that he founded and conducted. Lord Shaftesbury was there and said, "This list of associations instituted by Mr. Spurgeon and superintended by his care were more than enough to occupy the minds and hearts of 50 ordinary men." John Piper said in his biography on Charles Haddon Spurgeon, "He typically read 6 substantial books a week and could remember what he read and where to find it. He produced more than 140 books of his own, books like The Treasury of David, which was 20 years in the making, and numerous others. He often worked 18 hours in a day. The missionary David Livingston asked him once, 'How do you manage to do 2 men's work in a single day?' Spurgeon replied, 'You have forgotten there are 2 of us.'" Now Spurgeon's attitude towards sacrificial labor would not be acceptable today, where the primacy of wellness seems to hold away. Spurgeon said, and I quote, and listen to this key quote, "If by excessive labor we die before reaching the average age of man, worn out in the master's service, then glory be to God. We shall have so much less of earth and so much more of heaven. It is our duty and our privilege to exhaust our lives for Jesus. We are not to be living specimens of men in fine preservation, but living sacrifices whose lot is to be consumed." Spurgeon also said, "We can only produce life in others by the wear and tear of our own being. This is a natural and spiritual law, that fruit can only come to the seed by its spending and be spent even to self-exhaustion." Spurgeon said, "In every minister's life, there should be traces of stern labor. Brethren, do something, do something, do something. While committees waste their time over resolutions, do something. While societies and unions are making constitutions, let us win souls. Too often we discuss and discuss and discuss while Satan only laughs in his sleeve. God to work and quit yourselves like men. End of quote. This Spurgeon followed the example of the Apostle Paul, was a man who labored greatly. But also the Bible speaks of this not only in regarding secular work and regarding the Christian ministry and the example of Paul, but please turn to Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible speaks concerning the role of women. Women are not to be lazy. Women are to be diligent. Here in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10, we're going to see a description of the ideal godly Christian wife. And notice all that this woman does. And notice what she is not doing. Notice how much she accomplishes. And it is truly an amazing example for any woman. An example of a virtuous wife who is diligent, who is laboring, who accomplishes much, who is not idle. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. So from the very outset, he says this is something very rare that he's going to be describing. It is very valuable that he's describing. It's rare, but it's valuable. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. An amazing description of a woman who accomplishes so much, and how rare and how valuable the writer to Proverbs says what this woman does is. And once again, the connection, she's doing it, one of the reasons she's doing it is to provide for her own, Another reason she's doing it is to help others. So she can help the needy. She can help the poor. And she is taking care of her family. She's helping her family. And she's even helping the servants. Then in the New Testament, the New Testament also addresses this issue in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, it says that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers. Homemakers, not idle at home. Homemakers. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. But refuse the younger widows, for when they begin to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they cast off their first faith, and besides they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. As we began in our introductory remarks this evening, the world is watching. The devil will love to make a lazy Christian be seen by the lost. And what is it that Paul says here? Give no opportunity to the adversary, speaking of the devil, to speak reproachfully. The state of idleness is a bad testimony for the Christian. And then notice 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. It says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. Who is worthy of his wages? It is the laborer. Those who are actually working are worthy of wages. Now, as we have seen this evening, over and over, the Bible addresses this issue. The Bible is very vocal about the sin of laziness and the sin that laziness is connected to, the sin of idleness. The Bible speaks about the importance of those men and women, how they are to labor, are not to be in a state of laziness, a state of slumber, or to be like a sluggard, or to be in a state of inactivity, a state of idleness. And we need to ask ourselves, have we grown weary in well-doing? Please turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The Word of God says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Those of us who are active in the ministry, those of us who are seeking to promote God's ministry in whatever aspect that may be, to whether it be going to a mission, writing a newsletter, Bible studies, the tape ministry, the internet ministry, the witnessing at the park, visiting jails and visiting the sick, it is very important that we do not grow weary in well-doing, that we do not start to become in a state of weariness where we start to lose our zeal, where we start to just go through the motions, because that leads to traditionalism and formalism and no life and no energy. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones has said, if the devil can get God's people to lose hope,
he will be content indeed. And as I see things today, this is perhaps the greatest danger of all confronting the Christian church, the danger of doing a thing in a formal spirit and as a matter of duty. Going on, it is true, but wearily trudging along, instead of walking as we ought to walk. End of quote. Brethren, have we lost our zeal? Are we going through the motions? Have we lost the sense of importance in the work that we are doing? Have we become to grow weary in well-doing? Has it become too much for us? Do we become to start grumbling, to start complaining, and listen to the lie of the devil who says, oh, it's not important, or take the night off, relax? Have we grown weary in well-doing? The devil would love to get us to be weary. The devil would love to get the ministry of this church to stop and come to a standstill and have the whole church be in a state of idleness, in a state of inactivity, in a state of sleeping. That is the devil's aim. We must not grow weary in well-doing. We must resist the devil. And we must be diligent. Are you an example at the workplace? Brethren, you are being watched. The unbeliever is watching you. The devil is laughing when you are being a bad testimony to your bosses, to your employers, to your fellow workers. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It is very important that the believer has a proper understanding of how he is to function regarding his employer. All authority is God-given and God-ordained, and the believer is under authority at the workplace, and the believer must be an example. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 8 through 8, speak of the relationship between servants and masters. And this can be taken to the relationship between employers and employees, how employees are to treat their employers, how they are to submit to their God-given authority at the workplace. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to them, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. We need to remember that tomorrow morning. Our example is in our witnessing to the lost should be more than just words. The Apostle Paul was able to speak not just about his words, but recite his example and his track record to the brethren. He could look them in the eye with a good conscience before man and before God and can say, I have coveted no man's apparel. I have labored day and night. I have provided for my own necessities. Can you say that? Are you being a good example to your boss, to your unsaved boss, employer, to your fellow workers who are watching you? Or are you letting the devil seek to make you a bad example, a bad testimony to Christ? Are you laboring as much as you should?
Are you wasting valuable time? John Piper has written in his book, Don't Waste Your Life. Piper writes, for me as a boy, one of the most gripping illustrations my fiery father used was the story of a man converted in old age. The church had prayed for this man for decades. He was hard and resistant, but this time, for some reason, he showed up when my father was preaching. At the end of the service, during a hymn, to everyone's amazement, he came and took my father's hand. They sat down together in the front pew of the church as the people were dismissed. God opened his heart to the gospel of Christ, and he was saved from his sins and given eternal life. But that did not stop him from sobbing and saying, as the tears ran down his wrinkled face, and what an impact it made on me to hear my father say through his own tears, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. This was the story that gripped me more than all the stories of young people who died in car wrecks before they were converted. The story of an old man weeping that he had wasted his life. In those early years, God awakened me to a fear and a passion not to waste my life. The thought of coming to my old age and saying through tears, I've wasted it, I've wasted it, was a fearful and horrible thought to me. Brethren, it is crucial that we realize how time is fastly going away. Time quickly passes. Time is like a vapor. The book of James chapter 4, verse 13 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The parable of the rich fool describes a man who was doing everything, building houses, wasting his life, wasting in vanity. And he is told, tonight, your soul is required of you. If you are here this evening, if you're listening to this, and you have never turned to Christ, you have been extremely neglectful. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Jesus says and invites and commands you to come. And if you are too lazy in stubborn arrogance to refuse to come to Christ, you will spend all of eternity in hell forever and ever, where there will be no rest at all, where there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. How foolish it is for you to waste your life in vanity. Do not be like this old man who waited till the end. It's better to, at least he did come to Christ, but he screams in anguish that he wasted his life. Come now. Don't wait to your deathbed, for we do not know what a day may bring forth. We do not know if we will be taken suddenly. So to be presumptuous and say, I'll come to Christ tomorrow, there is no tomorrow, James says. We are not to be putting it off. Today is the day of salvation. Stop listening to the devil who wants to take you to hell with him. The devil wants you to not come. That's why the devil is saying, worry about it tomorrow. You could be dead and in hell tomorrow. You need to come now. And brethren, we need to regain a sense of urgency. Sinners are dying and going to hell as we speak. And there is much work to be done. Let us resist the devil and not listen to the devil who will seek to make us become sluggish, who will love to have us stop, who would love to have us give up, who will love to have us be frustrated and become in a state of idleness, so that we will not promote God's kingdom, so that we will be a negative hindrance to the lost, and so that the gospel would not go forward. There are sinners who need to be saved. There are churches that need to be established. There are God's people who need to hear the word. There are sinners who have never heard the gospel. And the work that we are doing, that God uses, that God has ordained, that God has given us the opportunities, we must not grow weary. We must resist and fight the devil, and not give in to his attacks, as well as not give in to our own remaining sin or natural tendency of wanting to be idle, wanting to be lazy. That's a sin, brethren. It's not a little thing. The reason why I asked you to turn to so many texts this evening is because I wanted you to see the amazing amount of biblical teaching on this subject, and how the Bible speaks of this very seriously, very strongly. The devil would like us to think it's no big deal. Oh, I don't feel like doing it tonight. The devil would like us to think, well, coming out on evening services is too much, other things that have to be done. The Bible speaks of this very strongly. Very strong language. It is important that we follow the example of Paul, that we listen to the commands of Scripture, and those who are in a state of laziness will come to a state of destruction, a state and an end in hell. Therefore, we need to resist the devil and be strong and fervent in the Holy Spirit. And only by the Holy Spirit can we be strong. And therefore we must seek the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who will help us to be zealous for good works. Who will, only Him, only the Holy Spirit can bless and ordain our ministry. We come to God the Father through the power of the Spirit, who uses our works to seek to promote the glory of Christ and Christ's kingdom. Let us go forward. Let us resist and fight the tendency to give up. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess that there have been many times that we have been negligent. There may have been many times that we have not managed our time the way we should have. There have been many times that we have wasted time. Forgive us of our lack of zeal, our lack of enthusiasm. Forgive us for just going through the motions. Forgive us of wanting to give up what you have called us to do. Help us to resist the devil, to fight the devil, to resist our remaining sin of laziness, our sin of idleness, our sin of refusing to do what you have called us to do. Help us, as the alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, to wake up in a sense of urgency
in a sense of enthusiasm for the work that you have called us to do. Help us to go to the workplace to be an example where, like Paul was, to be able to say to the others and look to the others with a clean conscience, to be an example to our employers and fellow workers. Help us in the areas of ministry and opportunity that you have given us to not lose our zeal, to not just go through the motions. Pour your Spirit upon us, for we need the power of your Holy Spirit. We confess that we go through the motions far too often. We forget you in our work. We just go through it as if it's just routine. Keep us from the state of traditionalism, from the state of just going through the routine. Help us to desire you more and more, to not waste time, but to desire to see your kingdom established more and more, that we would rejoice to see sinners saved, churches established, your people built up and encouraged. Help us to help others. We know that you have ordained work, and one of the reasons why you have given us jobs is that we may help others. Help us to not be greedy, to not be in a state of selfishness, but help us to be benevolent to those who are not able to work for whatever reason that it may be. And yet help us to remember that we are not to encourage those who refuse to work, that refusing to work is a sin, and help us to repent of the times that we have done that. Help us to desire to labor the rest of our days, to labor at the calling that you have called us to do with the power of the Holy Spirit leading the way, through the desire to promote the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.